Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fighter's Block. My name is Joe Gilpin, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Jesse Rivas. How are you doing this week, Jesse?
Excited that we finally have our first big fight card of the year. 2020 has finally begun.
Looking forward, this is the first week. I'm hiccuping a little bit, I apologize everybody.
Unprofessional, unbelievable.
I don't get paid, I'm not a professional, it's okay to be unprofessional. I always want to remind stand-up comedians that it's like, man, you know, it's unprofessional to get out there in shorts. It's like, this is a fucking hobby. You know, where the fuck else do am I getting, like, fucking harassed for? But anyway, this is the first weekend where we've had fights to look forward to. We have the McGregor fight. We have some boxing. What are you most excited about for the weekend?
I'm absolutely excited about the return of the notorious Conor McGregor versus the heart and soul of the UFC, Donald Cowboy Cerrone.
You don't believe that, though.
Believe what?
He's the heart and soul of the UFC.
I mean, if you look at it, no
one... That was fucking unprofessional. Phone's going off.
No one has ever had more victories inside the cage than Donald Cerrone.
Donald Cerrone strikes me as, like, the guy who, at, like, the end of, like, when he's retired from the company, they give him a gold watch, but, like, they didn't pay him enough while he was there to actually get him a gold watch. You know what I mean? Like... Every time it's like somebody who sets an attendance record, you always think that guy's a fucking nerd. You know what I mean? And that's what I think of it as. Donald's setting attendance records, but he isn't setting any other kind of records beyond like, you know.
Well, no one's had more victories. No one's had more finishes in the cage.
He's won 6 out of his last 10. I don't know why we're pretending that he's not like...
But he's won and finished more people than anyone.
He's an all-time good. He's not an all-time
good. He's had more knockouts, more head kick knockouts than any other fighter in the UFC. And he's tied for the most appearances in the cage.
Great.
Heart and soul.
All-time good, not all-time great.
I'm not saying all-time great. I'm saying he's the heart and soul of the UFC.
But what does that even
How many fight of the night bonuses? I'm saying how many great memories do we have of him?
I consider, like, honestly, not that many. Most of these are undercard fights. You know what I mean? He really doesn't have that many, like... Give me memories from Cowboy Cerrone. What are we talking
about? We have amazing...
Where he wins.
We have amazing fights with him against... when he fought against... Cowboy Oliveira. He fought Cowboy Oliveira.
Wow, what a fucking barn burner.
People forget how good Cowboy Oliveira was at the time.
He's still pretty good, but I mean, okay. Can you give me one against like a top 10 guy, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, he fought Justin Gaethje, right?
Yeah, he got knocked the fuck out.
All right, that's a good point.
Like, we were sitting here like, you know he's just going to get knocked out, right? Because he's lost 5 out of his last 9.
He went to war.
He got knocked out and he lost 6 out of his last 10.
He went to war with Tony Ferguson.
He did go to war with Tony Ferguson. He lost that fight, too. This guy loses big fights.
The Nate Diaz fight was amazing.
So the arithmetic, yeah, he got his fucking ass whooped. It was an amazing fight. It was an amazing performance.
He had a great rivalry with...
He lost to Nate, who's also an all-time good. He's a gatekeeper.
He went to war.
He's a beloved gatekeeper.
And had a great fight against Ben Henderson.
And lost. And got his ass whooped multiple times. And they fought him again. He got guillotined in the first round. And I think he fought him a third time. And I think that one he won a really boring decision.
But see, this time he's a father. And he has like...
This is shit. His dick works.
He said that, you
know... Connor's a father? Probably to kids we don't know about.
He said that now that he's a dad, he's more motivated, more disciplined in the gym.
Fuck off, Eminem. What the fuck does that mean? Well, what? Does kids fucking, like, fly the coop when he got knocked out the first round against Justin Gaethje? This is another guy where I'm just not sure why I'm supposed to pretend that he's amazing. I know that I'm sold that he's amazing, but I can look with my own two eyes and tell how good Donald Cerrone isn't. He's a guy who, for years... has refused to take any time to work on his actual defensive liabilities.
He fights like...
I'm saying, fucking take 2 months off to fucking learn how to move your head, dude.
He fights like 5 times a year.
That's not a great thing, especially when he admits that he's broke as fuck. Like, he's not... This is not going to end well for him. Because all he does is lose money and lose brain cells. That's a bad setup, right?
You know his theory behind that, right?
Behind the money thing?
Yeah, so...
Is it about to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard?
It might be. So his whole theory is he had his first loss, and that's when he realized that he was comfortable because he had a lot of money. And he doesn't know when he's going to die, so he's like, I might as well spend every dime that I have, so then it motivates me that I'm broke to go in the cage and go fuck someone up again.
Yeah, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He's a shitty father. How about that? How about that's a really bad way for a father to act? Where he needs to go get in fistfights, or you're all gonna die on the streets. This guy, like, you know.
He's beloved for many reasons. So he used to date Brittany Palmer. I don't know if you guys know who Brittany Palmer is, but she's several times voted the hottest ring car girl of the year.
What's next?
He also is sponsored by Budweiser because he is the real life Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's got the bald head.
Stone Cold.
He drinks beer.
Stone Cold? Show me a time when Stone Cold had lost 6 of 10. Literally any time. Like, you know what I
okay,
mean?
Okay, minus the winning part. He's okay, the real
Stone Cold. That's a pretty important part.
Okay, he's the real life Sandman.
This guy's the real life Brooklyn Brawler. No, he is better than that. He's coming off of 2 TKO losses to Justin Gaethje and to Tony Ferguson. High level guys.
Yes.
He's fighting Conor McGregor, who hasn't fought since the Khabib fight last year, or 2 years ago at this point.
And Prime Conor hasn't, we haven't seen Prime Conor in 3 years.
Basically. So, yeah, everybody knows the story of Conor. He was on top of the world, took time off boxing fight, took time off scandals, Khabib fight, lost there, and then more time off. Looked like he was retired, now he's back. He's trying to have a second half of his career. You know what I mean? All the greats do, for the most part. I mean, GSP had a second half of his career. BJ Penn, Chuck Liddell had a second half of his career, I would consider, kind of like, especially after that Pride loss.
Yeah.
He came back and kind of put himself back on top. I mean, just Vitor Belfort has second half of his career. Because there was, like, early Vitor up until, like, he won the title against Couture. And then, like, later on, TRT Tour. Like, you just go with any great.
Yeah.
Like, two halves of their career. I think that might be what we're looking at here. He is set up so that if Conor cannot win this fight, it's a huge problem.
Yes.
Right? Because he's at such a stylistic advantage. The guy who starched Eddie Alvarez and the guy who, you know, just took the soul of Jose Aldo would never lose to Cowboy Cerrone, right?
Like, yeah, well, 3 years ago, this would have been a very interesting fight.
Three years ago, this would have been a mollywhopping.
Well, 3 years ago.
The over-under on time literally would have been 2.5 minutes.
The 3 years ago, you had Cowboy starching everyone at 170. He had just come off amazing victories, and he had knocked out Rick Story. Then you had...
Because he couldn't get it done at 155, though. Let's not pretend that he...
Correct.
Like, but Dos Anjos, with Pettis, like, he had faced good strikers and gotten washed.
Correct, but if we had seen the story there, it was like, wow, he always belonged at 170. Now, we had Conor McGregor, who had just become the champ at 155. He would have had to move up to 170. This would have been super interesting 3 years ago.
I completely disagree. This has always been a huge stylistic contrast. And if anything, the fight's more even now, in my estimation, than it would have been then. It's way more even now because we haven't seen Conor. I'm saying that the bones of this matchup are set up that if Conor wins, he's back on track. And if he loses, he's basically kind of done. You know what I mean? The second half of his career is going to be very ugly, in my
opinion. What's your take on Conor now? This new size, this new shape that he has, how's this going to affect the fight?
He looks the same size. I don't know. I feel like we keep trying to make up, like, a new, like, angle to this, like, to this fight. And for a second, it was like, oh, Conor's huge now. Conor's always looked like that big to me. Leading in, if you put a photo of him leading up to the second Nate fight and a photo of him now, he's just the same size that he was.
Well, he was 170 then.
He got a little bigger in the Nate fight. Well, I'm saying we've seen him. We've seen this before. So I don't know why this is supposed to, like, surprise me. Also, I think that speed is going to be a way bigger determinant for him than power ever will be. I think his power comes from his timing and his off-rhythm left hand. Because the story on Conor is very simple to find out, right? He's pressuring. The second you try to counter fight, he pulls back, lets you collapse that bubble, and then he counters over the top with that left hand. Alvarez, Aldo, I mean, he just does it with everybody, right? You can go down the list. Dennis Seaver, Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway did it to him a bunch of times. Nate, he did it to him a bunch of times. But then he's going to gas, because that's a fucking exhausting way to fight. Constantly staying at that, like, 2% of range that's, like, safe for you.
You know
what I mean? That's so exhausting to just be constantly doing that math problem. And so Cowboy's going to have to use a lot of tricks to draw this fight out. But Cowboy's got a glass chin. Cowboy gets dropped all the time, and Conor drops everybody. When have we ever seen Conor look bad? Can you name me a time? maybe the first Nate fight.
Chad Mendez, maybe.
He knocked him out in the second round. And Chad, you remember, that was a totally different style, and he got plugged in last minute.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a situation where he was getting ready for somebody. I forget who it was. Frankie?
No, it was Aldo the first time. Aldo
the first time, yeah. And Aldo drops out, and you get to replace with somebody who's the opposite style of fighter, basically, in so many ways, but still a top five guy, Chad Mendez. He has the advantage that Chad hasn't been training. But man, Chad's been wrestling for fucking 25 years, and he still knocked him out in the second round. And I don't think he lost the first round. I'm pretty sure he won it. I might be wrong on that. I forget.
I think the first round, he spent most of the first round not being able to get off his back. That's true, not being able
to get off his back. You're absolutely right. But man, he still knocked him out in the second round against a top 3-4 guy on short notice. I think that's a great performance. Khabib, he's the only guy to ever take a round from Khabib. Gave Khabib his toughest fight of all time, I would say, winning a round off and being the only guy to ever do that. Even Floyd, he looked good. He always looks at least pretty good.
Yeah.
If not stellar.
But this means so much to Cowboy. He has never been the world champion. With a win over Conor McGregor. Maybe this is the
most... He's been given a lot of chances to win a world championship. It's not for lack of, like, promotional effort. You know what I mean? The UFC got behind Cowboy basically from the beginning and has stayed behind him the entire time. Which makes sense. You can manipulate him very easily. He needs money. That's a great thing. You know what I mean? You can make him do anything.
It's what motivates him. He can't have money because it would make him too soft and he'll start losing fights.
But that's the stupidest thing that anybody's ever said.
Has he ever lost when he was broke?
Yes, all the time. By his own logic, he six out of the last 10, he's lost. So either he's lying to us, or he's flat broke. It's a fucking joke.
He banged Brittany Palmer.
Who gives a shit?
I think that makes him a great American, and I would gladly pin, like, a purple heart on him for banging her.
And have fun with it. I think that we can't predict how this fight's going to go, because we haven't seen Conor in so long. But we can say... or at least I can say with certainty, that if Conor doesn't win, Conor is basically a non-factor here in his
style. So how do you think Conor will do at 170 if he has to win? Just
for this fight. I think he's got to go back down to 155. If he has any long-term plans at 170, throw him out
the... You don't think Usman versus Conor would be a mega fight?
No, gives a shit.
I think he wants the BMF title, to be honest.
I think that's what he's going to go after is Masvidal, yeah. Right? He's probably going to do this. He's going to do Masvidal. Which, by the way, Conor put a better ass-whooping on Nate in that second fight than I would say Masvidal did.
I disagree.
How many times... Well, he's got way bigger power than Masvidal, for sure.
Yeah, but Masvidal has... This is not the same Masvidal from before. He's so much faster.
How many times did Conor drop Nate in the second fight? Three times? It was three times.
Yeah.
How many times did Masvidal drop Nate? Once.
Yeah, but I don't judge it because the strikes he was
gassing hard at the end of that.
The strikes he was using were different. He was more working the body. Conor was more headhunting.
And he was still gassing. He was working the other guy's body and gassing from them.
I didn't think he was gassed. I thought that if they continued the fight...
I thought he was really struggling at the end of that third.
I thought if they continued the fight, Nate would have been... stopped, definitely. Nate was taking
a lot of damage, and that might have been the case, but let's not pretend like George was having like a summer breeze. Yeah. He had spent long stretches of that fight body locked against the cage just trying to catch his breath.
See, I think that's the fight. The 170-pound bad motherfucker title. The real title. The title that really dictates who the undisputed champion is in that weight class.
I think that's going to be the next fight for Conor, and I think that is... advantage Conor in my mind.
I think it's a good fight.
I
don't think that's a
good fight.
Yeah, I think that's you could favor one guy over the other, but really it's like either one would surprise you.
Yeah.
If Conor were to lose, would you be shocked?
No, by no means.
Yeah.
By no means. But I think he's going to get past Cowboy here.
So I'm a proud American, so I'm going to root for the most American badass, the Cowboy Cerrone in this fight.
I'm good at picking fights. I'm going to pick Conor in my fight pick because I'm picking fights. Yeah, of course Conor's going to win this. Man, kind of a weak card underneath, which tells you that the UFC still really thinks Conor is going to move units.
Well, I'll tell you this. People only asking about big fights. People want to see Conor Cerrone.
Yeah, for sure.
No one even knows what the fuck anybody else is on the
undercard. But yeah. You don't need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when for the card they just did, 245, the one right before this, they had three title fights because they needed them. Because
yeah.
Up top, Colby versus Usman, I mean, that really wasn't, like, drawing the numbers like yeah. they hoped. Man, let's move along. We have some boxing coming up this weekend. Tell me about what we have coming up this weekend.
So we have two really good fights.
By the way, if Cowboy wins, he has to fight Masvidal for the BMF. Or no, he just fought Masvidal. He has to fight for the title. I was going to say he has to fight for one of the two titles, but he already fought Masvidal and that fucked him up. And Masvidal knocked him out. I think he's got to go to an Usman fight for the title. Just for the pure money of it alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's too much there, and I still think maybe you could still do Conor versus George, even if Conor loses, maybe, just to cash out and get a little bit of money out of it. But I think that if Cowboy wins, we got to get him in there with some kind of belt on the line.
Yeah, I mean, he has to. He's, what, 36?
He's never going to get another shot. You know what I mean? He's only ever going to be that hot.
Well, I mean, technically, he's at the age where you're past your prime as a fighter.
Yeah, so is Michael Bisping. You know what I mean? Guys still pick up big wins.
Yeah, but yeah.
I mean, it happens, is all I'm saying.
Like, it happens. It happens.
He still has some good years behind him.
So we have a big boxing fight. It's not the biggest fight.
You wait until there's going to be a time Cowboy's not going to be able to fucking talk.
Oh, my God. It's going to be terrible.
Real bad for him. Because he takes a lot of knockout losses.
That camp in general. I mean, Diego Sanchez.
Yeah.
What's to do with the tattoos?
Diego's not going to be able to, like, look straight. You know what I mean? He's going to have crisscross eyes that can look around the corner.
What happened to that Garcia guy? The guy who got that fight against...
Leonard Garcia.
Yeah,
holy fuck. That guy's got to just be sipping out of straws already.
How many fight of the year candidates did that guy have to not have... to
never for us, win.
And for us to not even remember his name, yeah.
I remembered it, but...
Korean zombie fight was crazy. The two fights. The fights with Huerta. The Huerta fight. Holy shit. And that guy probably has...
had a Diego one in there?
Yeah, I think... And
if they didn't, they should have.
He has like $6 in his account.
I know, I bet.
It's terrible.
It's so horrible.
Yeah.
UFC fighters, please unionize. I can't believe it's not a thing anymore.
So we have some good boxing this week. It's not the biggest because it was supposed to be the rematch between Jared Herd versus Julian J. Rock Williams. But unfortunately, as we mentioned in the podcast, Jared Herd is no longer with his camp because his camp turned on him immediately after the loss. And then when he had like a summit with them and said, hey, what's going on, guys? They were like, hey, by the way, get the fuck out of our camp. And we meant what we said.
He got voted off the island in kind of a way that makes him seem like he was probably the asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to have that many people turn on you that quickly, like, that's not ideal.
So he decided not to go for the rematch because he doesn't have a camp. He's still
small problem.
Yeah, small camp. It's small problem. So Julian J. Rock Williams is having a homecoming fight against Jason Rosario, which many in the know think that this is going to be a tougher fight than a lot of people expect. What is your take on this fight?
I mean, Julian J. Rock Williams is still somebody that looks impressive in all the fights, and I don't think that Jason is going to have the firepower to deal with that. I mean, Julian is an elite, stellar guy at a very difficult weight class. For me to pretend that Jason Rosario has a chance over a guy who just won a decision over J-Rock, I don't see it.
And Jared Herd, you mean?
Yeah, Jared Herd. Yeah.
It's funny because a lot of boxing podcasts have done the exact same thing.
I'm just trying to fit.
Their names are so linked together. So Julian J-Rock Williams is in a very interesting position right now because, you know, some people, financial crisis and desperation is what motivates them and makes them better.
Like Cowboy.
Yeah. In some cases, that's just something you have to overcome. And one of the best things that happened to Julian J. Rock Williams is every time he won a big fight and got a big, big deal, he used it and reinvested it into real estate. Till eventually he got himself to a point where he can hire the best nutritionist. He can go to the gym the way he wants to. He doesn't have to focus about boxing being his financial need. So now he could just build his camp the way he wants to. And if he could take some time off for fights or injuries, he can do that. So that's how we got this more dangerous Julian J. Rock Williams from the Charlo fight to the Herd fight, we had a better fighter. So now that he's in this state, I think it's going to be very tough to dethrone him. But his camp has been looking at Jason Rosario for years as a potential opponent. And many people say that, you know, he comes from the same gym as Muhammad Ali. He was a well-known street fighter who eventually beat a pro boxer. So then he decided, hey, maybe I should start boxing. But he struggled against a lot of gatekeepers. And that's got me a little bit suspicious.
So he lost to Gallimore. He lost to Nathan Gallimore, who J-Rock beat. So there is like a head-to-head. I understand, hey, styles make whatever. But that matters a little bit. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, if you look at this past weekend, Jesse Hart beat Sullivan Barrera. Jesse Hart loses to Joe Smith Jr., who lost to Sullivan Barrera.
I appreciate that styles make whatever, okay? Yeah. But it does still matter a little bit.
It does.
It's not nothing. It's an indication, but there's a reason they still fight. But the indication there. Also, his last fight with Cotto was a split decision. You would really love to have seen him, you know, put a statement on Cotto if he's going to turn around and win a belt off J-Rock in his next fight. Those are not two results that are congruous with each other. You know,
they're not.
Those don't fit together right. That doesn't make sense to me. Usually you need to really, like, max out on a guy like Cotto, who we have described as a gatekeeper before, to then turn around and put something on the champion.
Yeah, Cotto.
One of the judges had him losing to Cotto. That's important.
That's pretty bad.
And then you combine that with a Gallimore loss, and then, you know, I understand J-Rock has one loss. Well, that's a loss to Charlo. That's a lot better than a Gallimore loss when they put together a head-to-head.
So going in there is needless to say.
Yeah, I think J-Rock's got this.
Big, big homecoming for J-Rock on free TV on Fox, which is going to give him a lot of great exposure. On the undercard, we have another Philadelphia fighter that is highly touted. There was a documentary on Netflix that highlighted him when he was a teenager. Now the 23-year-old, little B-hop, Chris Colbert is now prime time because this is his time where he's having the big, tough fights. He's already had a great victory in his past fight against a high-level gatekeeper and looked phenomenal stopping him, beating him worse than Yoricus Gamboa did. And now he's going up against another, I guess you can call a contender, former world champion in Jisrael Corrales. I don't know if you remember, but 2 years ago, Jisrael Corrales was considered like the foil to Lomachenko. Mm-hmm. And then he had a couple of big fights, didn't really turn out that way, but you know, he's still 27
kind
years old.
In the range of where, like, Teofimo Lopez kind of gets slotted into now. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was him. He definitely is not that guy. I think that this is a great matchmaking decision by Colbert's team.
Yes.
I think that this is the right time to catch a guy like Corrales. I think this is the right time for Colbert to take a step up. I think this is very smart altogether. Whether or not he's going to be able to pass this test, I have no idea. Sure, why not? That'll be my prediction, is that he does. But if he's going to do it, it would be now. You know what I mean? If he's not ready to do this by now, then you know what, man? Maybe you weren't the prospect that we quite thought. We're going to have to change the career trajectory a little bit. But right now, everything's been looking awesome, so let's keep, you know, this is the right
incremental step. Exactly. So, I mean, it could be very possible. I mean, you're seeing it more and more with this new generation, but it's very possible he could probably get a title shot within 14 fights.
They're always ready earlier than you think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I see it in wrestling. I see it in jiu-jitsu. I see it in MMA. People are always closer to that elite level than you might expect. And it's just a couple of adjustments away, and I think that might be it for B-Hop, Lil B-Hop. And I'm going to go with Chris Colbert. I think he gets it done.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see his progression and see how he looks.
Although Corrales is a super tough guy. So if Corrales comes through and has a really good performance against Colbert and kind of shuts him down and it doesn't let him open up, I wouldn't be particularly shocked.
I mean, it could be a Cron Gracie type thing.
Exactly, there you go. Or, you know, the guy just isn't who we thought he was.
Yeah.
People fall apart all the time. What else we got going on, Jesse?
I think that's it, unless you see anything that in the UFC that you want to break down.
Nothing in UFC. I'm looking at the boxing fights.
Fajea is supposed to be fighting. Diego Fajea versus Pettis.
Who's he fighting? Oh, with
Anthony Pettis. A very similar thing where you have like this this guy who's making a lot of noise in the division versus a former world champion in a very competitive fight, but it's a good crossroads fight.
So Diego Carlos Fajea is an incredibly tough submission grapper, really strong, really good Darce chokes and Anaconda style chokes. He's on a big win streak. They mostly give him all the, like, Russian dudes that nobody else wants to
play. He just beat Kovalov. Rustam
Khabilov.
That guy's a badass.
He's going to beat Taimazov, too. Mirbek Taimazov, who's also nobody fucking wants to fight. And he beat both those dudes, like, back-to-back. He just has been on a really solid, understated winning streak.
But he needs a Pettis.
There might be a real chance for him to beat Pettis. Pettis is so up and down. If you see good money opportunities to bet on Fahea, go for it, in my opinion. That's a great bet.
A Pettis fight will put him on the map. Because he needs a star.
Yeah, he fought like five fights ago or six fights ago. He fought Poirier. And he got knocked out in the first round real bad. And it really put a hamper on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but man, since then, he's beaten Jared Gordon. He beat Olivier Aubin-Mercier, who, you know, I have a super high opinion of. This is one of the best submission grapplers in the division, and I might play a little money on him.
And he's getting knockouts.
He's getting some knockouts. He's getting a lot of good stuff. Man, I'm telling you, that guy's really tough. Holly Holm is fighting Raquel Pennington.
Which is a rematch of a close fight that they had back when Holly Holm first came into the UFC.
Yeah. Yeah, Raquel was a girl that was really able to shut her down in a lot of ways. Wasn't it? She wasn't able to get off a lot of those longer combinations that we would see her just like spam against Ronda Rousey, for example.
Raquel is one of those all-time goods.
Yeah, she's an all-time good.
Yeah,
right. She's just not quite there. Nasrat Haparast, the little Kelvin Gastelum dude. You know?
What okay, I mean? Yeah.
Kelvin Gastelum, except he's not fat as fuck. Macy Barber is fighting Roxanne Modafferi. That's a pretty good fight. Claudia Gadelha, who I think is underrated as one of the most attractive on the roster. Andre Feely is fighting Sadiq Youssef. Those are two.
Well, Claudio is fighting against Alexa Grasso.
Yeah, that's a pretty good fight.
That's a tough fight.
That's a good fight. Andre Feely against Sadiq Youssef. Those are two really good strikers. Sadiq has really strong boxing and hits like a truck. Tim Elliott is in action. So there are things that, like, will, like, Chaz Skelly is fighting. There are things that'll perk you up here, but let's not go too crazy.
Yeah.
Some decent stuff. So yeah, I think we're ready to go, Jesse. Let people know how to get a hold of you.
Follow me on social media, Jay Rivas Comedy on Instagram and Jay Rivas on Facebook.
Follow me on Instagram, Joseph M. Gilpin, on Twitter, Bad Tweet Us, and we will be back next week here on The Fighter's Block.